Welcome to the Go Procast, where we invite business doers who are changing lives by sharing their stories, their strategies and tactics, and who bravely talk about their failures that actually led to their biggest successes. Now it's time to Go Pro with Jeremy Torres. And we are live today with a special guest, a person who has actually helped me bring into focus exactly how I'm going to be helping the country, United States of America, get stronger. And that's because this person has introduced me to a system of helping small businesses, medium, really any size business, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, to a system of getting better. And the system is so unique and so fresh and so complete. I just fell in love with it, and because of him, signed right up to be a representative of this brand, because it's going to be make the difference between this country moving forward. Because when small business does well, it treats employees the way they need to be treated. People go home energized, and they can have time to spend with their family in the right set of mood, and then the company can actually make money. Believe that, get some profit, and give back to the communities. And that's what we are in this country. We're just a bunch of little communities. All politics is local, as they say, and that is the way with small business. So please welcome my friend Steve Lover to the show. And I'll give you a little bit of applause there. There you go. You're deserving.
I have never had such a welcome before.
Well, I do believe in everything I just said. I think that the key to this country overcoming all this muck and mire that we're in is by more small business doing well. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I couldn't agree more. And I think one of the things that you find in business, specifically versus other areas, is this idea of personal responsibility. And the idea of victimhood just doesn't pass. It doesn't pass the muster. You can't be a victim in a business owner and a successful business owner.
Oh yeah.
You know, exactly. It's you know, it's the economy, it's my competition. It says at the minute you're in that place, forget about it. You're not going anywhere. And the community today at large, the country at large, is teaching victimhood. Everybody's a victim, every situation, you know, you couldn't do it because of this, you couldn't do it because of that. Somebody else had the same situation, they did it. Doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
And as such, helping business owners get out of that rut and into, no, I'm responsible.
That's
I'm responsible for everything that happens exactly the way it happens. And if I take that on me and I go in accordingly, and now let's see, where can I make it better? Where can I do better? Where can I think better? Where
yes.
can I create some value? That's a big change in everything.
And who can I surround myself with that's smarter than I am right now?
100%. They say one of the, I think it was Ronald Reagan, not sure, that said on his gravestone he wanted the man who surrounded him with people that were smarter than him.
Yeah, it's a good thing when you have the people around you and you trust, but making those people accountable and your employees accountable for their actions, giving them room to make mistakes, you know, these are the kind of things that breed out that excuses and victimhood, because you're giving me the room to make the mistakes, but I'm not going to get canned the first time I do. You know, there's accountability and there's a learning process. I always told all my guys, I'll coach anybody for their whole life. I want to be coached my whole life, but don't make the same mistake over and over and over again. You know, my son, one of the biggest problems I have with my son, you know, he's young business owners, 21 years old. This is third year in business. But I seem to have to harp on the same thing, you know, going, dang it. But everyone's different, you know,
it's not only that, until you really get the lesson, you really learn it, you are doomed to do the same mistakes over. So at some point you go, oh, bang, and everything changes.
Yeah, and I may be guilty of trying to make it too easy, being the dad. Because dad hat, boss hat, you know, I'm not his boss, I'm his partner, but. Yep. I still maybe make it a little too easy,
but I don't think typical parent problem.
Yes. So yeah, my friend. So let's talk a little bit about you since you're the guest today. First thing I want to do is kind of just share your links and stuff. Reach out to Steve at BlueMountainBusinessCoaching.com and visit Blue Mountain Coaching Business, BlueMountainBusinessCoaching.com and get that right. To see all the great things that the software does that we're talking about. But How did you get involved with business and helping people with business in the first place?
So this is a really interesting story, and I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I actually started my career out as a rabbi. And I served, I started out in Jerusalem, and afterwards I was in Amsterdam, Holland for a few years, and then a few different cities in America. And I decided I needed to go from nonprofit to profit.
Yeah.
And even while I was working as a rabbi, I started listening to sales materials then, because part of fundraising, there was things you had to do.
Yeah.
And so I did them. I did the things I had to do. So it came time to go into the business world, and I did what every inexperienced person does. I went out and bought a franchise, one that you needed a lot of capital, even though you didn't have it. And I ended up 3 years later with six figures worth of debt, and I closed down my business. And an old student of mine said, "You belong in the insurance business. You'll do great." And I went in the insurance business. And again, a lot of counseling, understanding, compassionate, giving direction. And I did well.
Yeah.
And then New York Life tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, maybe you'll become the head of training for Southeast Michigan." And it's a great position. Loved it. They had a certain process. It was very good, but it wasn't whole. And I had some ideas where they could retain more agents. They could get agents to be better through coaching, and they didn't want any part of it. So I said, okay. I said goodbye to them, and we parted as friends. I started my coaching practice, and a couple of my first coaches, clients had huge increases. I had a wholesaler that went from $50 million to $100 million in less than a year.
Wow.
I had one guy who was in a zone of 53 wholesalers, and he was number 43 when we started, 42, number 42 when we started, number 2 when we ended. And I had another guy who had never hit all of his bonuses by December 31st, hit all of them in September.
So do you think this the difference between what they were teaching or maybe how they were teaching and what or how you were teaching is that they just didn't want to change, and you had different perspective, and they didn't want
not really. I think what the big thing here is, when you change your mindset from one of pleasing or selling, and I'll explain the difference, to serving, it's huge.
That's a bolt worthy one there. That's huge.
Okay. So most salesmen are there to either sell you or they're there to please you. If I can smile enough and get you to like me, chances are I'll end up being able to sell you. And serving is about something else totally.
Yes.
Serving is about taking myself out of it and doing something for you. And I'll tell you how that comes out in my business. I'm a business coach. And so when I first started coaching, I've been doing this since 2005. When I first started coaching, so I would sometimes see something on a potential client that really was screaming needed to be addressed. And my approach was, I don't want to tick them off. I don't want to make it difficult. Now's not the time. Let them become clients first, and then I'll speak to them. And that was very self-serving. That was worried about me. I wasn't really caring about the client. I wasn't serving them. And now I don't do that.
Right.
I will go right in, and I'll say, "Hey, wait a second. Let me ask you." And so I have a process to do that. What I say is, I have something really uncomfortable to share with you. It's going to be uncomfortable for me to say. It's going to be uncomfortable for you to listen. Is now a good time?
Yes.
And everybody always says yes. And at that point, their guard's down and they're willing to listen. And you can really step in.
So when you say everything is screaming for what they need, but not verbally, you just read between the lines, asked the right questions at the right time, and you figured out with your experience and your wisdom and your perspective, this is the real underlying problem, even though you're telling me it's something else. You say, "Listen, let's get this out up front, because we're going to work a lot better right from the get-go if you know I'm the guy that's going to pop you in the mouth for your own good." And sometimes we all need that.
And I didn't have that in my contract. My contract says, "While I hope we have a friendly relationship, I'm not here to be your friend."
Yeah, and I'm here to lead you to success.
And so I will put that out there. And here's the thing. If the guy gets ticked off or upset and doesn't want to work with me, guess what? I want to know that right now.
Yes.
And that's fine. Let him go.
And what percentage of them walk?
Almost none.
No, most none.
If I have that real conversation, I had one guy told me he interviewed 5 business coaches. I was over twice more expensive than the next closest one. He said, but you were the only guy who was willing to throw cold water on me, mm-hmm. ice water, he said, before we engaged. You know, he had yeah. another coach said, I got $1 million idea for you. And he said, $1 million idea? Great. What is it? He said, I'll tell you right after you hire me. I'm like, wah, wah, wah. Like, come on. Whereas I didn't. I'm not afraid. I'll give you any. Because here's the bottom line. People do not hire coaches for ideas. They hire coaches to help them implement. That's the right. only reason to hire a coach. Any coach that thinks they're being hired for their ideas is missing the boat totally. And so, and by the way, that's in all industries.
Yeah,
that's in investing, and it's in any kind of physical fitness. Every industry you can think of, they're looking to get you help to make their life easier. And in my business, it's about serving them. And serving them is, even if it's not something they want to hear, but it's what I would want somebody to tell me, that's what I'm telling them.
That's right. Yeah, because the serving is, you know, what you do. It's the teaching. But it's also when you're serving, I believe that you're learning because you're there with different reason why, right? If I'm here helping you, not to help you, but to fulfill a need or calling that I have to really give back. And so that's the serving part. And when you're walking in that, you're learning at the same time. I do anyway. I mean, I think
100%.
If I can't learn from somebody, you know, no matter where I've been in life, where they've been in life, there's something to learn. And if there's nothing to learn from, then I'm wasting my time. Even if I can't help them, I need to learn too. So it's a little bit selfish, but if I'm not learning, then I'm not engaged.
So properly. I really come from a little different space. And that is, I want to make a difference in the world. I want to make a dent in the universe. And so when I meet with somebody, even if they not become clients of mine, that's fine. I want them, when they walk away, say, wow, that was a really interesting guy. That was really helpful. He mm-hmm. gave me something new to think about. You never know when it turns into a referral, something else, but it does make a difference. I made the dent. And if I'm yes. taking the time to speak to somebody, I want to make that dent.
Yeah.
You know, I had a fellow that was just on an hour and a half ago. He reached out on LinkedIn. It was not somebody that I thought, but he hit me in the right way that I was willing to speak to him. And he does something everybody does. I said, what makes you different? I said, until you differentiate yourself and give me a reason that I want to speak to you, you're not going to get the fix for me, but serve me. Show me that you're bringing something and you want my life to be better by what you say.
Yes.
Along the way. And when I feel that from you, guess what? I'm hiring you. Most guys don't do that.
Differentiation. You kind of summed it up right there. How do you stick out from the crowd? That's really tough for a lot of people, right? I think the number one thing for most people is to say what they do is different than how everybody else does it. And so what's some suggestions to have somebody create the words just to start going down that process of figuring out how to verbalize and put into text for their websites and their front page, how am I different?
So honestly, let's start at the beginning. 90% of people you ask what makes you different. I don't know. I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. I'm a religious guy. Or they'll sell you these platitudes. Our quality and service. What yeah. the bejeebus is. Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's meaningless. So we have like this three-part test that you can use in ads. You can use in whatever you do. That if you can pass these three tests, you have a chance. And I'll give you an example afterwards of one that's done really well. The three tests are the number one, the duh test. If okay. you say duh after what they say, it's not a good headline for an ad. It's not a good ad.
Yeah.
And it's not a good market down position. Let me give you an example. You see a dentist ad and the dentist says, we get your teeth clean.
Duh.
My response to that is, duh, you're a dentist. If you can't get my teeth clean, you don't qualify.
Yep.
So there's the duh space. So if you say, we do great work, that's a duh. Yep. If you don't do good work, get out of here. You're not in your business.
I call that the Chris Rock.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do that.
That's exactly correct. Yes, yes. The second one is no platitudes. And a platitude is a word that sounds nice. Quality and service. Those are words that have no meaning again.
Yeah.
They're just a platitude. And you know what I mean? We do great work. That doesn't mean anything to anybody. It's got to be really super specific. And then the third one, which is really the hardest one of the three, is who else can say it?
Who else can say it?
But not who else can do it, but who else can say it. And there's a very big difference in those things.
Right.
Because a lot of people can say things that they don't do. So if it's that specific, that it's no duh, it's no platitude, and it's very specific that nobody else can say it. And I'll give you the greatest example I know, but there's Domino's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a kosher consumer, so I've never eaten Domino's Pizza. But what I've heard about Domino's is it is its best a medium quality pizza.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay. But Domino's had a great idea. They said, let's find out who orders more pizzas than anyone else. And they did this study, and this is what they found out. College students at 2 o'clock in the morning were the biggest buyers of pizza anywhere in the world.
Wow.
That's... They had the munchies, they're hungry, and they want it now. So Domino's came up with this great idea. And their tagline, their advertisement, the thing that they sold was, we will have hot pizza to your door 30 minutes of an order, or it's free.
Right.
Now, every college student in the country ordered from Domino's and sat on his knees praying it would come in 31 minutes. So he wouldn't have to pay for it.
Right.
So let's look at our three tests. Is that a duh? They didn't talk about their pizza. They didn't talk about the sauce. They didn't talk about cheese. They didn't talk about the crust. They talked about something that was no duh. There was no reason. There was no duh there. Number two, platitude? No, it's extremely specific.
Very unique.
And who else could say it?
Right.
Well, Little Caesars couldn't, and there's nobody else who's going to take that responsibility and that risk that they did. And that took Domino's from number three or four pizza purveyor in the country to number one.
Wow. And that worked for a long time until it got brought out to the public, and they're still trying to keep that 30-minute, you know, trying to hit every household in their serving area, which got a little hairy.
Right. And they started having a few accidents and things, and they had to pull back in.
But they're already
the point is, they're already there. That's right. That's right.
Didn't make over the goal line.
So it's the same thing with your business. You know, like I said, I was speaking to somebody today, and he works with coaches on LinkedIn to getting them their calendars full. Well, you know what? I get 5 pitches like that a day.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know what? If all those guys could perform what they promised to perform, there would not be a coach in the world that didn't have a full practice.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
You wouldn't have time to pitch me.
most of them can't. So I said to them, what makes you different? You have to be able to differentiate yourself, because otherwise I have no reason to talk to you.
Yep. You said something about say something that the competition can't. And what struck me with that is that even better is to get a client to say it for you. Right?
100%.
Testimony, a video testimony you could put on your website. You know, if that's what it is, if you have less duh and less platitude, and really if something unique, get a client to say it for you.
But that's social proof.
Yeah.
And you know, that's really what we're talking about. And here's the big idea is when you do a good job of creating your market dominating position. So first off, there's a good group of people that are not going to be clients for you. If I say this is what I do and I do really well, there's a lot of people say, oh, great. I don't need that. I'm not interested. And you know what? I want them to say that.
Okay.
I don't want people getting in my mailbox and getting on my timeline that are not good potential clients. There's enough good potential clients that I can stay totally busy as much as I want. So that's number one. And number two is I want to have a situation where it sounds like a love letter. Excuse that analogy, but really good advertising is a love letter to your perfect prospect, because you're hitting that. What's their problem that they have that they can't find a solution? What's the solution that they want that you have that they don't know about? And when you get that out to there and they say, that sounds like me. I have a client today. He came to a workshop I did and he took the brochure, and the workshop was in December. I was on the phone with him last week. He held up the workbook. He said, I still have this in front of me because these are the things that I need and I want to keep it. It's sitting on his desk.
Yeah.
You know? So it's about And so what ends up happening is it's really cool, because when you get into that zone and you get the clarity and you get it dialed down, it's not difficult differentiating yourself from the crowd, because you're going to be for a different group of people. You're going to have a different process. You're going to have different things you bring to the table, and it's you. You're unique. You might as well embrace that.
Yeah. So really, the more you can dial in on that unique quality, your marketing differential or dominating position, you really do part the seas, right, Rabbi? In the sense that you've got now, you mentioned it in a conversation we've had, so not everyone's going to love you, right?
And that's great.
And that's good. And you want to get rid of those people as fast as possible, but for the people who need you, this is going to speak to them, that, you know.
So that actually speaks to something we said before, the difference between pleasing and serving. When you're pleasing and you're trying to get people to love you, yes, it's very difficult to do that, say, I don't care. When you're serving, it's really about what you're doing for them.
Yeah.
Then it's not.
And
you
got
to get out of, pleasing is great when you're a four-year-old kid and mom says, if we go to the store and you behave yourself, I'm going to give you a lolly. Yeah, you're going to please them out. But when you call a client, a potential client, they say, well, I can't see you then. Well, tell me when it's good for you and I'll try to make some time on my calendar. I'll move things around for you. That's BS.
Yes.
You're not a professional.
That's right.
You're not a professional. And I'll say something else, something you just said, Jeremy, and that is amateurs compete, pros create. It's an awesome line. And what happens, everybody else is trying to get over the guy next to them. And if you're a real pro, you don't give a flying rat's patootie about the guy next to you.
No.
You care about creating something so great and serving your group of people so well.
That's right.
That you don't have competition anymore. There's no such thing.
That's right. There isn't. I often said, somebody asked me that, and it was a good guy. It wasn't a bad guy. It was a bad question. The worst interview question I ever had was, how do you stomp the competition? And I said, I don't. I try to help them. I lead by example. And if they have something they're doing that works, that I'd like to call them up and ask them how they're doing it. And if they call me, I'll tell them all my secrets. Because I believe the more people we help, the better, again, this country's going to be. And I cannot help everybody. I don't care if I have 100 coaches or 200 coaches. There's well more people that need help than I can possibly ever help. And people like you, talking to you that day that I met you, you told me no. When I said, I need to buy this, he said no. And I said, I was doing something a little different. And I said, listen, even if it's not for me, I have this philanthropy side of me where I help kids out of high school. And this would be perfect for that. And then I actually trashed another project I was doing to do this full time because of all the goodness that this could help. If I was into trashing my competition, I wouldn't have even given this a choice or a look. You know, so me trying to just go, hey, be the open eye, learn from everybody, even the competition, especially the competition. This led me to this road where I'm friends with you today and doing better than I've ever done my whole entire life, helping more people than I could ever help before with a system that is just without a question, amazingly easy, help. Technically, we're competitors at this point, right? But there is plenty to go around. So this is the website for everyone who's listening, and it is BlueMountainBusinessCoaching.com. BlueMountainBusinessCoaching.com. Steve Lover is the name, and I tell you what, that's what caught me, because I have so many people who come to me and say, you're a coach and I can help you. And I go, yeah, you're the ninth one today. But when I had Steve Lover say that, I said, I gotta talk to Steve Lover. He just got a great name. And so that opened up this conversation. But that's a unique differentiator, isn't it?
See, listen, you know, it's all about finding this idea of competition versus collaboration is humongous.
Yes.
Because if you become known in your area as something of a guy who's a collaborator, so you never have competition. No. They're always your friends. And we're besides builders. That, I'm not trying to crush my competition. I just want to leave them in the dust. You know, I'm going to be on to the next thing. And if I'm creating, and I'm always creating. So I can take yesterday's idea and share it all I want. It's just tomorrow's idea I can't quite share yet because it's not in the world yet.
Yes. Yeah. But that's because, and again, innovation, marketing innovation. Yes. That's 100%. What the business is. And I believe that businesses are created to be sold. I think that business has a life cycle, but it's not a life. Don't treat it like your child. It's something you create to sell.
And so honestly, I don't know if I'll ever sell mine because I enjoy what I'm doing so much.
Yes.
And I get such a kick out of it. And there's so much to it. As I get older, I'll probably slow down and charge more.
But that's a great option, isn't it?
But get rid of the business, sell it. You know, somebody. Well, the problem with selling businesses is you will never make off the sale of the business what you're making from the business.
Well, I was ready to walk from the one I sold. 30 years was a long time. And it was a business that made me travel more than I wanted to travel. And it was a business that took 70, 80 hours a week. But when we sold it, it gave me my get-to life. So that allowed me to get to do this and help people and have that runway. So,
but my guess is, Jeremy, you'll tell me if I'm wrong. If you take and you try to annualize the money you got from the company, it's less than you were making while you were in the company.
From the sales that I made?
Yeah. Yes.
It was about 20 years. 20 years worth of, if I annualized it, it set me up for about 20 years, the next 20.
Okay. But how did that compare to what was coming in before? Same?
That's what I mean. I mean,
okay. Few and far between in businesses.
Yeah. If you average anything can happen. We had actually an up year and I would have made more, but you have down years and hurricanes hit and, you know, all that happens. For my business, it mattered. But for me, let's say it was half of that, 10 years. That's right. Plenty for me, somebody like me, to recreate what I have in 10 years.
That's great, but in other words, the point is there were things that about the business you wanted to get out of it.
Yes.
It wasn't a monetarily decision. And so here's the thing. You have a company, and the company sells for 5x sales.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So 5x sales, that's 5 years. Or 5x sales, first off, is much more than most companies sell for. But even a 5x sales, that covers you for 7 years, 8 years. How many years does that cover you for, really? Whereas you keep the business and you have absentee, you have good people running.
Yeah.
Large amount of money is coming in. Again, I'm not against selling the business.
There's a different way you can, you said affiliations, right? You can start parsing it. You start letting people take parts of it and then you can oversee it and mentor it. There's different ways to get out of doing what I wanted to do.
Sure.
As well, too. But I was part of a partnership, you know, and it was all that stuff. My point though, business is still though something you have to manage with your mind and not your heart as much.
Oh, 1,000%.
So, you know, that's probably where I was a little bit gray with that. A lot of people think this is my child. I'm never going to sell it. Then they make decisions based on that. Well, you know, you got to use your head, and that's where the system comes in so great because the numbers are on there. All the facts are in figures and everything, the roadmap, as we call it on there, it's all in there. And it just gives you such a great guiding star to follow. I call it a strategic compass. A lot of people call it different things. But Maria Dashko is my mentor, and she's got Dr. Deming's philosophy of the strategic compass. So I love that philosophy. But it's a great tool, and I appreciate you meeting you and being turned on to it.
So one of the interesting things is most business owners have a really hard time getting around this following idea. And that is Frank Sinatra did not move pianos. He used to show up and sing.
Yes.
That was his gift. That was his magic. And all the stuff around that, he didn't do.
Right.
And so what happens is a business owner never kind of finds their place where their magic is, where their real genius zone is.
Yeah.
And instead, they're doing everything. They're taking out the garbage. They're just everything they're doing. It doesn't make a difference because they're the business owner and they're afraid to go hire somebody. I remember when I used to be a trainer for insurance agents, I would ask a guy, listen, what would it cost you to have a girl to come in or an assistant to come in and work for you for 10 hours a week, $15 an hour, $15,000, $150 a week. He said, yeah, but I can't handle that right now. I said, if you took those 10 hours a week and put it in sales, what is your sales time worth? He said, oh, I make about $200 an hour. I said, great. Work 1 hour a week extra, take 9 off and go enjoy yourself and you'll be ahead of the game. Like, understand that there's things that you do that you don't have to do, that you have to delegate and get off your list, the who, not how. By the way, Dan Sullivan book, great book, Who, Not How. How to delegate that stuff in and working your zone of genius. And when you do that, your business comes so much more fun.
It does. Yeah, exactly right. And then, those investments, too, into your business and, you know, can't afford it. There's ways you can afford it. There's things you could do. And again, this system's help you identify some of these cost-cutting ideas to cut back on and to help you invest in your business, because it won't grow if you continue down that road. In my book, Labor to Leadership, I call that wasted again in Operatorsville. You know, the best guy leaves the company because he's carrying that company, thinking they can't live without me, and goes and starts his own business, but he doesn't understand all the other elements of the business, and he's wasting his time, because it's all he's going to do is run on that hamster wheel.
That's right, 100%. Yeah. And that's, you know, unfortunately, most business owners are, actually most business owners are one turn away from bankruptcy and the other turn away from being a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to watch that, because it has to do with some mindsets. It has to do with some practices, how you do things, because how you do one thing is how you do everything mostly in life.
Yeah.
And so when you start to get in there and, you know, catch it, it's a really beautiful thing to make some of those small shifts that a lot of things work.
It's building relationships, personal, not transactional. That took me from cheeseburgers to steak right there.
That's huge.
And meeting you is part of that, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Jerry.
I'm going to put you on standby, tell the audience goodbye. And anything we want to leave the your fans on your way out?
Well, let me just put this one idea out there. And that is, you have way more potential than you even yourself believe. It's there. You just have to get a little bit more, what's the word I want? A little stronger, mm-hmm. a little more confident.
Yep.
And here's the biggest mistake people think. People think that they have to create their confidence and then they can be successful. And it's exactly the opposite. Success comes before confidence. So you go out and you try a bunch of things till something works. And when it works, you become confident in that thing. And that's what you do. Don't undercut yourself or underestimate your abilities. Your abilities are unending and they're incredible what you can do if you just stop back and listen. And if you can't find it, find a coach, find somebody that can help you uncover that. Find somebody that can help you see it differently and say, wow, because when it hits and you see it, your world changes.
That's right. That's right. And it's like the turtle, right? Can't take a step without sticking his neck out. And you're never more vulnerable than sticking your neck out. But that's what it takes to get successful and to get places.
Terrific. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Stand by 1 second. Well, I'd thank everybody who supports this channel. It's the Go Procast channel, Jeremy Torsk. And remember, we're going to a Wednesday night weekly live show. I was going to have it this second Wednesday, but we had COVID in our house, so we had to skip it this week. But every Wednesday night, we're going to be doing the old Dave Ramsey style call-in show, where you guys will be able to pick up the phone and call in on the show and just actually literally call me up and say, I got a problem in my business. We'll run the numbers. We'll fix it together. I want everyone to continue giving me the ideas and guest ideas. I know I just send them to me in the comments, in the direct messages on LinkedIn. And that's how we make this show better, more interesting for you. Appreciate your support, and always remember to go pro.